Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your actions in our life. I pray that as we open your word and study about faith and works, I pray that our works match our faith, that we live out what we believe. And as we study about trials and troubles and patience, remind us that you are still in control. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James. This is our last week in the book of James. We're in chapter 5. I'll tell you, when I was looking for the special music for this week and I ran across that song and I watched that video, and it got to that part near the end where it looked like something was wrong, and I thought, what happened? And then I watched it again and I began to dwell on the fact that aren't there times in your life when it looks like something's wrong and you go, what happened? And in an instant you're reminded God is still in control. James chapter 5, look with me at verse 7. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return." Now, I'll tell you, this section of James chapter 5, these verses we're looking at, it seems as if James is all over the place, as you'll see as we go through this, and he's not. And it seems here as we're getting started that he's talking about one thing and he's not. It says, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Don't miss the fact that what he is referring to is our lives as we live them in lieu of the fact that Jesus is coming back. And we all joke about patience and how you don't ever pray for patience, right? You don't ever pray for that. But I want to show you what James is talking about here. Drop down to verse 10. We're going to go back and get the others. But verse 10, he says, "For examples of patience in suffering." Okay? So what he's talking about here is our lives and the struggles that we have ongoing in our daily basis when we need patience and we don't want them. We want the suffering to go away, right? That is our desire, the suffering to go away. Whatever the suffering is, whether it's your health, whether it's your relationships, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's the loss of a spouse. We want life to be okay. That's our desire. The American dream. Let's live happily ever after. Jesus promised us that would not be the case. And what James is telling us is to be patient. Now, what does that look like? Does that mean I have a smile on my face all the time? No. What it means is be confident in the fact that God is still in control. So he's saying here, "Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return." Now, we've established you don't pray for patience, but here's my encouragement to you. We were not created to have patience. Okay? We were created for the want it right now. Patience comes from the Holy Spirit. It is a virtue of the Holy Spirit. When you start painting a picture of trying to wrap your head around who is the Holy Spirit, I want to share with you out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Patience comes from the Holy Spirit. If you are going to have the kind of patience that God wants us to have, to be able to endure the suffering. To be able to stay focused in suffering, you need the patience that comes from the Holy Spirit. Chuck Swindoll, my favorite preacher, says that true patience is waiting without worrying. Think about that. True patience is waiting without worrying. Our struggle with patience comes from not knowing what's next. Right? That's when we begin to worry and fret and struggle. Because we don't know where the end is. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know how this finishes. But we can have confidence in knowing the one who does is in control. Look at verse 7. Consider the farmers who wait, who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the Lord's coming is near. He keeps going back to the Lord's coming. That's not his focus. His focus is on how we live in lieu of that coming. Okay? I have, and I think my wife will attest to this, I have a high tolerance to pain. Okay? I can endure a lot of pain. One of the ways that I do that is the mind thought, this can't last forever. This can't last forever. I have had 2 kidney stones in my life. If you've ever had one of those, you know what I'm talking about. There is no pain like that. I am not a woman, okay? So I'm not going down that road, but I have had a woman tell me she's had children and a kidney stone, and the kidney stone was worse. Okay? Now, I don't know. I can't talk to that because I hadn't been there. But here's my wife, when she had Grant, we had to wake her up. She almost missed it. She almost slept through it. Okay? This life is going to produce a lot of pain. Jesus promised that. But what James is trying to tell us is that if you keep your focus on the fact that this is not going to last forever, you can endure it. That's where the patience of the Holy Spirit comes from. You don't focus on the pain, you focus on the end. And the end is what he keeps saying, the Lord's return. The Lord's return. Every generation from James to today has thought that Jesus was coming back in their generation.
You'll need to connect to a Wi-Fi network first.
I need a Wi-Fi network. Let's turn that off. Every generation has thought that Jesus was coming back. Okay? I'll tell you this. I don't know when he's coming back, but we are closer than we have ever been in history. Okay? We are closer than we've ever been. You ever been on a ride with your kids? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know what? We're close. We are closer than we have ever been. Focus on that. That's what James is telling us. Focus on that, not on what you're enduring. If you've ever farmed, and I haven't, but I have seen the struggles of waiting on rain and having no control over it, and watching a crop die in the field. The only thing you can focus on is that God is still in control, even in the midst of your suffering. Verse 8, you too must be patient. Take courage, for the Lord is coming near. Now it's going to seem that James is turning a curve and going in a different direction. He's not. Look at verse 9. Do not grumble with each other, brothers and sisters. You will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. There is nothing that will get us grumbling at each other like suffering. Because you know what we want to do when we're in the situation of something we don't like, or something we don't want, or something we want changed? You want to know whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? And so you start grumbling. That is Satan's delight, for us to grumble. Because here's what happens. We take our eyes off of who's in control. And we start focusing on things that don't matter. Have you ever had a fight that before you got to the end of it, you couldn't remember what you were fighting about? By the grins, I know that I am in good company. By the time we got to the end of it, we don't know how this started. James is saying, don't grumble. Stay focused. If you're going to have patience, you have to stay focused. Verse 10, for examples of patience in suffering, dear brothers, look at all the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end. For the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. Let me tell you what James is talking about here, because this is a stumbling block for many of us as Christians. We are in the middle of a trial, a tribulation, a suffering. You've gotten bad news from a doctor. Your marriage is not what it wants. You had a spouse that had the audacity to up and die on you. And you are in the midst of a place of darkness. And what James is saying to us, and what the Holy Spirit wants us to know. I'm going haywire this morning. What James wants us to know is that God is still in control. Look what Job went through, and what the stumbling block for so many of us is, and y'all know people who have said this, if God loved me, how can this happen? If God loved me, how does this happen? Because the American thought is, everything's supposed to be happily ever after. And if God loves me, when I become a Christian, my life is going to be perfect. Jesus promised you the exact opposite. The exact opposite. But here's what we have to trust and know. And y'all, many of you have lived long enough to know this. It is only in the trials that we grow. That's where your faith grows. And out of those trials, often something beautiful comes. Y'all know the story of how a caterpillar turns to a butterfly, right? There's a cocoon. And then, if you've ever watched it, as that caterpillar becomes a butterfly, there is an enormous struggle to get out. You know what takes place in that struggle? For that butterfly, that's where the muscles are developed to be able to fly. If you help a butterfly out of that cocoon, it will not be able to fly, and it will die. Because the struggle of breaking out is where the muscles are developed and something beautiful happens. And so oftentimes in the midst of our struggles, something beautiful happens. I want to show you a story of this real life example. Watch this.
There is something so powerful about turning to the Lord in the midst of a really difficult season. I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky, and I grew up in church, and I had an incredible Christian family who really taught me what it looks like to just be a follower of Jesus. And I knew from a really young age that the Lord loved me, but I didn't feel that love for the first time until I was in seventh grade. And I was on my first day of school, and I had a Bible teacher come in and just started to weep about talking about Jesus. And I just remember thinking, like, this grown man is crying over the name of Jesus. And so everything that I've been taught my whole life must truly be true. At the time in that seventh grade classroom, I didn't realize what God was going to do just 3 years later. I remember I was asleep in my bed at home in our hometown, and the police come knocking at our door. It was 3:30 in the morning, and I run downstairs to see what was going on, and I see six policemen standing in front of my front door. And I knew when I saw them that something had gone wrong, but I just didn't know what it was yet. And walk into my living room, and I see my mom just screaming and crying, and my dad. And I'd never seen my dad cry before, and I was 15 at the time. And so I knew that if my dad was crying, then something was really wrong. And so I walked over to my dad, and I just asked him point blank, is he dead? And he looked back up at me with tears in his eyes and said, yeah, Ian, he's dead. My older brother, Jacob, passed away in a car accident at the age of 23 years old. I'll never forget that moment as long as I live. It was the moment where I was faced with a very hard decision. Am I going to trust the Lord, or am I going to lean on my own understanding and walk out this whole path by myself? And I just remember facing the doors in that room and just putting my head down and saying, Jesus, I trust you. And when I did that, I remember this just heavy weight was lifted off of my shoulders. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Ann, I'm going to give you everything you need to push through this tragedy and get to the other side. Probably day three or four after my brother had passed away, we were planning the funeral, which was so hard to do. And I go downstairs to the piano, I start playing and singing What a Beautiful Name by Hillsong. And my mom comes in the room and she's like, Ann, we had no idea that you could sing. You know, where is this coming from? And I just remember just being like, Mom, I don't know, you know, what this is. I'm just worshiping the Lord. And this is just kind of my response to the tragedy right now. And it was almost like when I felt the weight of just the grief and the suffering and the depression so heavily, my medicine and my escape was to worship Jesus. And in exchange, when I would worship him, he would give me his peace and his joy and his rest. And so my mom asks me if I would be willing to sing at the funeral. And I sang at my brother's funeral for the first time in front of anyone. There were over 1,200 people there. It was packed. The church was so crowded. And it was such an incredible day, just such a special time of being able to reflect on Jacob's life. And I remember walking up on stage and sitting down at the piano and hearing the Lord's voice. And he spoke so clearly to me. And he said, Ann, this is what I am calling you to do. I'm calling you to praise and worship my name. I think when we walk through suffering, it can be really hard to trust the Lord, just being completely vulnerable. Sometimes it's easier to turn away from the Lord and say, I know I'm going to go figure this out by myself. And the enemy will try to get you stuck in that place of self-pity and, oh, I'm going to, you know, turn away from the Lord. But there is something so powerful about turning to the Lord in the midst of a really difficult season. When we're walking through suffering, we're called to worship the Lord. And I know firsthand from experience, right after losing my brother, the only thing that brought me comfort was worshiping Jesus. And we're called to give him our praise in the midst of every single different type of circumstance or troubles or suffering or whatever. And so there's something really profound about taking a step back in the middle of suffering and laying it at the feet of Jesus and then worshiping him in response to it.
There's something incredibly powerful that she said in the midst of that, that should be a reminder to us in the midst of our trials and our troubles and our suffering. The best medicine you can have is to worship Jesus. Think about that. The best medicine for a trial, any trial, whatever struggle you're dealing with, the best medicine is to worship Jesus. That's what Satan does not want you to do. I can tell you with 100% certainty, he wants you to question, he wants you to turn away, he wants you to get mad and angry. But the best medicine is to worship Jesus. For her, something beautiful happened. A butterfly came out of a tragedy. And the first time she ever sang for anybody was at her brother's funeral. Our invitation today is I want you to hear again, because I played it for you, but now you know the story. I want you to hear the song she wrote about her brother and about her God. And my invitation to you is, while we joke about patience, I encourage you to pray for them. Because it is in the midst of our trials and our troubles and our struggles that we grow and become beautiful butterflies. So we're going to close the service with her song about her Jesus and about our Jesus. Watch this.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is true. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my
that you have opportunities for Jesus to change your life even more than He already has. Will you stand with me for a closing prayer? If you're a member of Calvary, I invite you to hang around 5 minutes. That's all I need. As you go out those doors, I pray that no matter what you encounter, you remember God's in control. Pray with me. Father, we thank You that You are a God who has promised us that we will endure trials and tribulation and suffering, and that You've also promised us that we would not go through it alone, that You will make a way, and You will use it to Your good and Your glory. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.